She reduces, reuses, and recycles. She talks the talk and walks the walk. She doesn't tell you what to think. She just wants you to. She's Mrs. Green. And this is Mrs. Green's World on the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. You are indeed listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. Our show today is made possible due to the generous support of the Chapman Automotive Group. They are doing their share, showing they care, and we thank them for their support of Mrs. Green's World movement and for everything they do to make our planet a healthier, safer place for all of us. Thank you, Chapman. The name of our show today is Green Investing. What's your strategy? And I am very pleased to have as my guest Timothy R. Yee. Timothy is the president of Green Retirement, Inc., a minority and half woman-owned financial advisory firm. Love putting that in there. Hashtag half woman-owned. And I know the other half. With a nationwide presence, he has been an active leader in the financial services industry for more than 25 years. In conjunction with his home office, Independent Financial Group of San Diego, Timothy focuses on corporate and nonprofit retirement plans. And I want to tell you a little bit more about his experience because to me it matters and it establishes such credibility for him as a guest on this show with what he's going to share. His extensive experience includes being Vice President, Bank of America, as well as Branch Manager, AVP for T. Rowe Price, Walnut Creek Investor Center. He was appointed to the Office of the Supervisory Jurisdiction, it's called OSJ, and the Sales Director for a nationally top-ranked financial brokerage branch. And we'll share a little bit more about Timothy after the next break. Timothy, thank you for taking the time to be with us today. I'm excited about this interview.
I appreciate it, Gina. Thank you for having me on the show. It's good to be here.
It's really great. It comes around full circle, and I just want to tell everybody the way that I met Timothy and his wife, Rose, was at this amazing organization that I do lots of shout outs for on the show and have gotten amazing guests from. And it's called Social Venture Network, SVN. And I encourage people, if you're looking for something to get excited about that's totally dedicated to making our world a more sustainable place, check out SVN, Social Venture Network.
So I'd echo you on that, Gina. Lifetime members of SVN, and it is an amazing, amazing organization.
I was there when you did it, and I cried my eyes out, and it was my first one. It's like, oh my gosh, this is so awesome. And it's funny, Timothy, because some of the guests that I have on the show, it will come up about SVN with neither one of us knowing there's a connection, and they talk about the Bridge Program. And Ari, the mushroom, I call him the oyster mushroom man. He was one of them. He just said, I got to SVN and I saw that he was there. And I said, Ari, I had no idea. And he said, well, I had no idea you were coming to this either. So they're doing great things. But anyway, I think it's such an important topic for us to talk about. Very, very topical about retirement pictures. And you have millions of people, baby boomers, and you have younger people that are more educated than ever. So let's just really go to some of the very great questions that you have helped me prepare, because it is really what people want to know. So let's start with the first one. What were you going to say?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a good question about the retirement picture for Americans. It certainly is a concern to me. And when I was reading the National Institute on Retirement Security study, they did a study in March of this year. This really caught my eye. They said that the median retirement account balance is $14,500, and that's for households that are led by somebody in the 55 to 64 range. And at first, I thought they meant $14,500 per year.
Right, right.
They meant no. $14,500 is what people have saved. And these are older Americans, 55 to 64.
Right, right.
And I got to thinking, and I'm sure your listeners would agree, that I don't know a place in the United States where $14,500 will do anything.
I don't, it's not sustainable. You can't live on it, no matter what.
Maybe it's a year of rent, but certainly it's not gas and groceries.
Right.
And so it's not a year of salary for many Americans. And the other concern that I have as a retirement planner is that these older Americans do not have a chance to make up for the shortfall. So the message that I tell all of my clients, I tell everyone, is to save, save, save for retirement. I'll share a story of what I consider one of my tougher days as a retirement planner, but I met an older couple in Sacramento. I was the advisor for Tower Records. If you remember Tower Records.
Wow, yes. Of course I do. Yeah, oh, my goodness. Yeah. That's like throwback Thursday.
There you go. Well, they came in, and the wife had been working there for 30 years, and the plan was to retire and purchase a farm in Oregon, and I think they wanted to do grapes, as I recall. There are a lot of good grape products out of Oregon. And she had brought her husband along for the discussion, sort of bring your spouse to work day.
And right.
I was just doing back of the envelope calculations, and I couldn't make the numbers work. I knew how much they would have to pay for the farm, down payment, mortgage. I could roughly sketch that. I looked at her balance, and she hadn't saved enough. And there was nothing I could do.
Ugh.
30 years of working. And I won't bore your listeners.
No,
with the
it's
details,
so not boring. It's
tough.
Compelling. It's compelling.
Yeah, I guess the message is I really had a hard time holding it together in that meeting. And when I told them that not only did I not see a farm in Oregon, but I was convinced the wife might need to work, the look on the husband's face is one I'll never forget. He was shell-shocked. And it is not something I ever want to go through again. So every person that I speak to, save for retirement. You know, I read a study that said the average across America for people who are saving for retirement in a 401k plan, for example, the average person is doing 10% of their paycheck. Listeners, are you doing that?
Are you
if
doing
not,
that?
What can you do? Where's your budget? Can you get there? So
it's just take it off. Take it off the top so that you never start using it. Just this is what I take home. This is what I put in retirement so that it never becomes a part of discretionary income is basically what you're advising.
You got it, Gina. You got it in one.
And Tim, I have a daughter who's 27 who just got married, and she and her husband are starting. And it may even be a little bit late for them, but they want to start with some type of retirement plan that they cannot touch. And I'm all over it. It's like, yes, because it's here before you know it. As one who's just turned 65, it's like, yeah, it's here before you know it. And there's a lot of drastic changes if you have not prepared for that. And many people can't retire. That's the sad part. And it's a wonderful thing to be able to look forward to.
I would agree with you. And I would encourage your listeners to avail of any retirement plan that is out there. If the company or nonprofit offers one, great, use that. If that is not possible, check with your local bank or whoever you work with for your financial matters. There's a program out there. It's been around for many years. It's called an IRA, or Individual Retirement Account.
Yes.
There's so many options out there, but... And I certainly was guilty of this, Gina, when Rose and I first got married and I started making some money and she made some money. Yeah, there were a lot of nice, shiny things that I wanted to buy.
I know. There's a fun part of that. There is.
There is.
It's like,
there
let's
is.
Enjoy the money that we're working so hard to earn.
Yeah, and I don't want people to think I'm trying to be a Scrooge and say, stick to your budget. You know, it reminds me of my dad when I was a little kid and having to save every penny. But I think there's a balance that your listeners should strike between enjoying life and saving for the future. And I don't think it's a hard balance to find.
No, it's not. It is not harsh. And what you're saying is make it a part of the budget. Don't think of it as something you cut out.
Yeah,
it's a part of, you know, literally investing in your future. So, Tim, let's talk turkey about Social Security. There's fears about it. Is it going to go away? Is it going to happen for us? When should we get it? So is it there for Americans? What's your perspective on that?
Well, a couple of things on Social Security. remember that when the program was created way back when, it was designed as a supplement.
Yes.
So it wasn't designed to be
people
the,
forget that.
The answer. Yeah. And
yes.
It is a supplement, and let me put a hard figure on it. The maximum that I've seen Social Security currently pays, $2,663 per month. Now, I was in Brooklyn not that long ago, and we were early for a meeting, so I just for fun did a little window shopping at the local real estate agent.
OMG.
The place they were advertising was $5,000 a month, and it claimed to have a water view. And I started laughing because, and Rose, of course, asked me why I'm laughing. And I think in order to see the water, I would have to have leaned out the window and she would have held onto my belt to stop me from falling.
Get up on the roof. Oh, you got a great crew
yeah,
on the Brooklyn
go.
Bridge.
Yeah, stand on the roof. But 2,663, if that's your maximum Social Security and the rent alone at this place is 5,000, folks, Social Security was meant to be a supplement.
Right, and you're not going to be living in Brooklyn.
No, not on $32,000 roughly a year. But even beyond that, will Social Security be around? Yes, I feel it will be around. Personal opinion here. But think about this, folks. Who wants to be the congressperson or senator
exactly.
who kills the program? The AARP is a powerful group.
Yes.
Seniors vote. They probably vote more than the younger folks. And I would guarantee that the politician who tries to do away with that program may find that said person has a very short political career.
Right. Hashtag impeachment. You can't go after that. I could not agree with you more. And
there will be a solution.
Yeah.
But just remember that even if it is a solution, it's only a partial solution. The burden is on Americans to save. And I know I mentioned the 2,663, but think about it. Your retirement plan, the 401k, allows you to save $18,000 per year. Now, for most people, working life is maybe 40-some years.
Right.
40-some years at $18,000. And now we're starting to talk a big amount.
Right. And quality of life continuing.
Oh, you know it. You know it. That's what retirement's about. Anytime
right.
I ask people, what do you want to do in retirement? I hear grandkids. I hear travel, cruises. I mean, I want to see Mount Rushmore. As corny as it sounds, I want to go to the Dakotas, and I want to see Mount Rushmore.
I don't think it's corny at all. I mean, talk about a wonder of the world. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
I love watching the specials on how it was made. Oh.
There you go. Well, I want to see it, and the hotel and the gas will cost me money.
Right, right. Go now because gas is so inexpensive. And then people, that's a whole other conversation. Then people think, oh, gas is cheap. I can buy a big gas-guzzling truck. But let's not go off on that tangent because you have really important things to share with us about being mindful about our present and our future. So if social, I get it, social savings is important. It is so important for everybody's long-term sustainability. So if Social Security isn't going to be the answer and should be considered as a supplement, and I get that, is there a silver bullet? Does Timothy R. Yee have the silver bullet for us?
No, Gina, no silver
bullet. There's no silver bullet.
What I can say, though, the biggest predictor of how much you'll have in retirement is based upon how early you start and how much you save.
Right.
So I think about a young employee that I met last month in New York, and she was concerned that at age 30 she really hadn't started. Okay, so how early you start was a bit of an issue she had from age, say, 22 to age 30, not
right.
contributed. Okay, well, we admit that fact. What she can control is the starting right now and putting away as much as she can.
Right.
And there are any number of online calculators that your listeners can use to predict how much will they have in retirement, and more importantly, how does that translate into living income?
Right.
This, to your point, that's what this is about. It's not saving for a nebulous goal. It's about continuing a quality of life in retirement that you enjoy. And in her case, well, she hadn't started, but she was committed to starting then, and she signed up right on the spot. And that's what you need to do. Start now. Don't beat yourself up over it if you haven't started when you were 22. Start now and save as much as you can.
And you are building for your future. I mean, it's just, it is really, to me, it goes back to the same thing, quality of life issue. And you see people that are working at, you know, places like Walmart and other stores where they, you know, that this was not their first job and they're having to supplement their income at much older ages, you know, in their 70s and, you know, parents living in my idea, like I would just not ever, ever, ever want to live with my kids. And I love my kids. My mother was the same way. You don't want to live with your kids. You grow up and they grow up and I want to live close. Like I wouldn't mind living in the mother-in-law guest house in the backyard, but I don't want to ever have to be dependent upon them. And that's a way to prevent that is to start saving. So no silver bullet.
But you hit a good point there, Gina. You know, as Americans, we believe in independence. We believe
in
that. And this is what this is. It is preserving your independence in retirement. To your point, I mean, if you have to be with your kids because of health care issues, that's one thing.
Yes.
But certainly you don't wish to have to move in. As I've told some of my clients who've known my son James since he was little, as a little kid, he had problems figuring out where the closet is. And so he would put his shoes wherever he felt like. And, well, he's graduated college, let's say, and one thing they did not teach him at college is where the closet is. I'm still working with a 22-year-old on shoes don't go in the middle of the room for daddy to trip on them.
That's so annoying. I get it.
Yeah, oh, kids.
Put your shoes away. I get it. I so get it.
So do I really want to do that in retirement when I'm much older, tripping over his shoes? No.
Really don't. And he wants to be able to leave his shoes wherever the heck he wants. So let him go do that in somebody else's house. That's what I say. I mean, it's so true. So we want to fulfill our dreams by having savings, being able to do things with your kids and grandkids. So talk about for a bit, what retirement savings options are there out there?
Yeah, so I alluded to one earlier, the IRA, and you can go to your local bank or credit union or again, whoever handles your financials. They will know about the IRA, and it comes in a variety of flavors. For other workers, you may have a company retirement plan or a nonprofit one. One that I frequently hear about is the Simple IRA.
Okay.
Now, don't be deceived by the name Simple. It stands for something, and hooray for the IRS.
Yeah, it's like simple Medicare options.
Yeah, exactly. Anything but, and by the time you're done reading the tax code, your eyes will roll. But it is a good option. It allows for a greater amount of savings than an IRA. And then, of course, the ones your listeners may hear very frequently, 401k or 403b plan.
Right.
401k and 403b, I tend to use them interchangeably. It used to be 401k is the for-profit world, and 403b is the nonprofit. But the point does not change. My message is that if one of your listeners has this through work, definitely talk with a tax advisor, talk with a financial planner, and find the best way to use that plan. I cannot stress it enough. It is a huge opportunity.
I agree with you. I agree with you. I agree with you. Even when it came to choosing our Medicare options, why would I, as John Q. Public, with no expertise in this area, not turn to someone that was got good references? They are the experts. Their life is studying what the options are and informing us. So what could have been, 10 hours of absolute hell for me, I am not the detail person, turned into a two-hour meeting with my husband and me about what options I could have and what this one does, and just such so knowledgeable. So a financial planner, to me, is the best way to find out and get a relationship with them. There are many, many ethical, moral, great ones out there. So I sound like I'm giving a sermon, and I don't want to do that, but I just want to echo having someone like you in charge of my future is very comforting.
Yeah, and I wouldn't say you're preaching, Gina. You raise a
passionate, passionate.
Yeah, passionate. And I was back in Vermont at one of my client companies, and they do solar panel installation. young woman came in and she was quite nervous. And I asked her why, you know, I don't think I'm scary.
You're not.
And she said, well, yeah, she felt very unprepared for the meeting and didn't know what to do or what to ask. And
Hold that thought. You know about breaks because you're a former radio talk show host. We'll be right back. So we're talking about the woman from Vermont who Timothy R. Yee scared. Please stay here with us. We'll be right back.
Join us for a new Mrs. Green's World episode every Saturday at 12 noon Pacific time at MrsGreensWorld.com. All of our past shows are available as on-demand podcasts at MrsGreensWorld.com. Listen on your computer or mobile device using the iHeartRadio app. Connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram. We are a proud member of the Dream Vision 7, Glimmerglass, Green Radio Divas, Blog Talk, and Speak Up Radio Networks. If you have questions or comments about the show, write to us at info@MrsGreensWorld.com. We'd love to hear from you. And now, more with Mrs. Green.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. And we're being gifted with such jewels of thought, things to think about that are an investment in our future. Joining me today is Timothy R. Yee. And Timothy, I love saying that. It's just like, this is Timothy R. Yee. He is the president of Green Retirement, Inc., a minority and half woman-owned financial advisory firm with a nationwide presence. He has been an active leader in the financial services industry for more than 25 years. And in conjunction with his home office, Independent Financial Group of San Diego, Timothy focuses on corporate and nonprofit retirement plans. And I just want to add a little bit more because I think it's really important to get to know thy guest. Timothy is an accredited investment fiduciary and holds numerous FINRA, FINRA. You can tell us what that means, Tim. I'm sure it really matters. He is happy and humbled to be the advisor for the retirement plans of Hog Island Oyster Company. Just your travel schedule. Like, I'm all over this. And Burning Man, are you kidding me right now? In San Francisco, Etsy in New York, Trillium Asset Management in Boston, among others. He's been quoted in various media, including the New York Times, Fiduciary News, and the Fiscal Times, and now will be extensively quoted as a guest, the first on financial advising for Mrs. Green's World. Timothy, again, not only thanks for being with us, but thanks for what you're doing. It really is important. So I interrupted you when you were talking about the woman that was scared. You didn't scare her when she was meeting with you, and I think you said in Vermont.
Yeah, she was in Vermont. She's a solar panel installer, and I told her, because again, I'm not scary. The topic is perhaps intimidating, and I think that is why she was nervous. She didn't know the questions to ask about retirement and savings and what to do. But I put it to her this way. If she gave me a wrench, a bolt, and a solar panel, 2 hours later, I would still be on the roof with a wrench, a bolt, and a solar panel. I wouldn't know what to do.
Looking for that view of the water.
Yeah, there you go. And no amount of reading will inspire me to install solar panels. I would rather hit myself on the head with the solar panel. I just find an expert. Find somebody who knows what they're doing, someone you trust, and talk to them.
And it's just that trust is so important. And really, if you care enough about this and think about the things we care about that aren't as important, you will get references. It's so easy to ask friends that you respect and value their opinions. You can always Google things. There are no secrets on Google. If something's wrong, you'll find it out. So it's find someone you trust and put your money with them. So, Tim, this is one that blows my mind, because anytime I got an opportunity and worked for a corporation that offered a 401k and frequently matching, I wouldn't even think about not doing it. Yeah. Why should working people use their 401k if it's an option for them?
Well, and I use 401k interchangeably for the corporate and the nonprofit world, but what I encourage working Americans to do is contribute as much as they can. So start with your budget. To your point, Gina, it becomes a line item on the budget. It's not standalone. And really see how much you can put away. Now, current law says that Americans may put away $18,000 per year if they're under age 50, and 50 and older can put away $24,000. So that's the current tax law, and it does get revisited every year. I can tell your listeners for 2016, the numbers are still $18,000 and $24,000. So it's pretty easy to figure out how many paychecks you get per year and divide $18,000 or $24,000 by the number
right.
of paychecks,
right.
and now you know your maximum contribution. Now, I've done that calculation for some of my employees, and they sort of look at me as though to say, great, I guess I'm not paying the rent, and maybe
like,
I'm eating
what?
Top ramen. yeah, so if we're not on the top ramen diet like we were back in high school, boy, that stuff was good.
I so remember it. I still love it.
yeah, it's not healthy, but
no,
dang gum.
I don't. It's like I didn't know better back then. It was just good.
Exactly. It was tasty. But if you can't afford the $18,000 or $24,000, my question to your listeners is how much can you afford? And I frequently say make it a stretch goal or give until it hurts, but what really brought it home actually was my niece. She was visiting us, and at the time we were living in a condo complex with a gym. And she was down there on her elliptical machine pounding out the miles, and when her workout was done, she was about ready to reach for the towel and the water bottle. But the fellow next to her looked at her and said, I bet you got one more in you. And they both proceeded to bang out another mile on the ellipticals. And that, folks, is give until it hurts. So I stress that because that's what I'm asking Americans to do. Really, give until it hurts. This is for your retirement. You need to save. And I may not be around when you retire, but I hope you will thank me at that time.
Right. I hope you get 7 days of weekends. I think that's what I read. And one of the things when I was reading about your company, it's like, yes, 7 days of weekends. It's
exactly.
it's a great thing to have as a dream. It really is.
Yeah. I asked one of my employees, what is retirement? And again, I've told you, some people said kids, some said travel. This guy raised his hand and he said, every day is Saturday. He proceeded to unzip his jacket, and he was wearing his college team's jersey. He loves college football. Every day is Saturday. He gets to enjoy doing what he wants, football, what have you.
It Smart was choice. Life. Yes.
I got it.
Yes.
And let's say the 401k is not available. So back to the IRA.
Right.
The IRA maximum, $5,500 per year. Or, if you're 50 and older, $6,500. Again, take the number of paychecks, divide $5,500 or $6,500, and you know your maximum. Here's an interesting point, though, Gina. You notice I keep saying 50 and older, and it is the government's way of saying older Americans haven't saved. Here
right.
is an option.
Pay attention.
That.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. So, once you make the decision and I remember this too, when I was, you know, working with a company or in my case, a state agency that had a great 401k, state retirement, and it still can be confusing. How do you know what to invest in? Everybody manages their own risk tolerance. Is this a case where even if you have a 401k option, would you recommend that people continue to ask the professionals? You wouldn't start writing your own drug prescriptions, hopefully, because you trust somebody.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. It's important to the health of your life. So how do people know what to invest in? It's confusing.
It is confusing. And I think part of it is the industry's fault. My industry uses a lot of jargon.
Yes.
And
yes.
the jargon is... It's not the most understandable. It's not something you could look at. For example, you asked about FINRA. People would say, well, what the heck is a FINRA?
Which I would like you to tell us.
Yeah, it's Financial Industry Regulatory Authority.
Okay.
But I don't think any amount of coffee would help your listeners figure that out.
No, it's like watching paint dry, and we don't really want to know that. We want somebody we trust, I do, to tell me, okay, just tell me what to do. What are my options?
And that's why many plans... many companies will offer a retirement planner with the plan.
Right.
So in
right.
my companies, for example, if people have questions, they call me. They email me. Yesterday, I did 5 hours of Skype and FaceTime with one of my companies because I couldn't see everyone while I was there, so we were Skyping and FaceTiming. They were trusting my advice, my help. And the thing that I would say about trust is the financial professional really needs to listen to you, to the individual listener. They need to ask you about how much risk you're willing to take. That varies by individual. How many years do you want to have until retirement? I think about my mom. She worked 30 years at a hospital, and as soon as she turned 62, well, she was done.
Right, right.
I had another client of mine worked until he was 76 and couldn't work anymore. And I jokingly said to him, well, Ron, you know, you're 76. Why are you still working? And he looked at me, and he was sort of a cantankerous old fellow, and he said, well, I'm divorced, and I've got a dog. What do you want me to do? Sit at home and watch TV? And so he kept his mind sharp by going back to work. I don't think he needed to, but it really gave him a sense of purpose, enjoyment, and that's what he did.
There is so that, but he probably had a choice, and that's what you're saying. Yeah. Put yourself in a position where you have a choice. So you can be your mom at 62, having a lot of life in front of her to enjoy, or someone at 76 that enjoys whatever he's doing. But either way, it's great to have that safety net.
Exactly. So Huge. The financial professional will help you in terms of making your choices. There are online tools. There are now oodles of books, of course, on investing. And some are quite easy to read, I would say that. They're not, you know, PhD dissertations that are dry. So I would encourage people to make the effort. Again, I think about myself with the solar panel. When we made the decision to really start investigating solar, I did my reading. I really looked and really thought it out. And now I know at least some rudimentary questions to ask. I won't do the installation, and Lord knows there's more that I don't know, but I at least have a basic grasp of the idea.
Yes.
And then
yes.
I turn it over to the professional again. But I don't want to go in completely ignorant and say, wow, I know nothing. I hope you'll do right by me.
Right. That's great. Yeah. Here's the keys to the roof. I know.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think that's a good approach either.
No, I don't think so either. Do your homework.
Yeah.
So a lot of the meat of this conversation, I hope, for the next half hour is talking about something that is so topical now, but that you indeed are going to offer an historical perspective. And I love it, SRI, and it makes big news. There are college campuses shutting foundations, bringing them to their knees because of their investing. What is socially responsible investing?
SRI, or socially responsible investing, is really looking at an investment from its financial perspective and all the ratios that go with that. But it also is looking at an investment in terms of its impact in the environmental, social, and ethical or governance realm.
The whole picture.
Exactly.
Yes.
I don't think anyone would argue with me that if a company is financially sound, but it is getting there by destroying the very earth that we're on, that might not be such a good idea.
No.
And this isn't a new thing. I mean, it traces all the way back to the Quakers. The Quakers used to boycott stores that had slave-made products. And I remember when I was at UC Berkeley, the apartheid protests were going on, the shanty towns. And
wow.
Yep. To your point, yes, the protesters did bring down the system and say, we are getting out of South Africa. It does not matter the profit to be made there. That's not the right way to make money. And so SRI is looking at an investment from a holistic point of view.
And it's you know, it brings me back the wonderful guest that I have connected with because of Social Venture Network. I have to go back to that because what Sipora Berman talked about on our show in December is the importance of educating yourself and arming yourself with knowledge and information and then getting out there and taking action. So whether it's as a protester or as someone that's owning your retirement, ask the question, get involved, because I will tell you, Timothy, I didn't. You know, I had a 401k, you could check the box for your risk profile, and then that's the end of the story. Of course, that would not be what I would do today.
And it's a fair point, Gina. And listeners, you may not have a choice in the retirement plan when you look at the list. You might not see a socially responsible offering, but you can always ask.
You can always ask.
In a bit.
Change will never come about if we don't start doing it more and more and more.
And to your point, then, SRI has evolved over time. As I think about socially responsible investing, back in the 1900s, it was defined as, for example, no alcohol. Well, Gina, I do candidly enjoy a glass of red wine. I do.
I know. I like red wine. You and I have said it's happy hour somewhere.
Exactly. So over time, the definition has expanded to include the environmental issues, human rights. That's been in the news plenty.
Oh, my goodness.
But an interesting thing is that it's now gone to a completely new level. It's called fossil-free investing.
Yes, and I really want you to talk about that. The number one most topical issue of our world right now, if you ask me, is...
I agree.
There you go. So let's talk about that, because nobody better to ask than you.
Well, and it's, you know, on Mrs. Green's World, climate change, I'm sure your listeners get it, global warming. This is playing right to that.
Yes.
Again, we're looking at an investment from a financial point of view. We look at it from the socially responsible point of view. But now we're layering on that an added mandate that we will not invest in a company that profits from fossil fuel extractions. Now, I'm sure Sephora mentioned this, but fossil fuels are a major contributor to climate change. But here's the fact, and this is not in dispute, that if we wish to keep global warming below 2 degrees Celsius, which is what the scientists have figured is anything above 2 degrees warming, and we as humans, as a race, won't exist, we have extracted already enough fossil fuels, and if we were to burn all of them, we have 5 times the amount. We would release 5 times the carbon, more than needed to take us above 2 degrees. Put a different way, fossil fuels, in my belief, and based upon the Carbon Tracker Initiative, which is a team of London-based financial analysts and environmentalists, based on solid research, we have more than enough fossil fuels to cripple the human race. And it's not cripple the Earth. The Earth will continue.
Exactly.
The Earth will always be here.
It's the human beings we should be really caring about.
Yes.
And our sick children and the asthma and all of these things that are so complicit with the burning of fossil fuel. They're inextricably connected.
They are. They are. When you look at asthma rates, when you look at cancer rates, when I just was reading an article about in Beijing that all the kids were kept home.
Yes.
Because the pollution
level was so, yes.
It was, and I've been to Beijing. I was there in 87, 88. The skies were clear. We went back in 2006, and I remember in the airport, dear old Rose, as we got out, she said, "Oh, look, Beijing has fog, just like San Francisco." And then we looked at each other like, "That's not fog.
No, it's brown."
It's brown. It's not cooling. It's not refreshing. It's,
And lots of people walk around with masks. You see them on some of the specials that are on PBS. They have masks on so that they're filtering out some of the filthy air, which is just so devastating. But I do want to ask you this, and if it's outside of the purview, I'm not sure about closing that loop of getting involved, knowing what you're investing, it's not an attempt to put some of these huge companies out of business, but rather an attempt to get their attention to start looking at renewable energy. When you're making $1 billion a month, like Shell, you can put some of that into renewable energy. Isn't that like a responsible, sensible segue? Because they can still make money in all renewable energy.
No, I agree with you there, Gina. This is not about putting Shell or Exxon or any of those companies out of business.
Get their attention.
What it is, well, it's getting their attention, but it also, I think the quote is attributed to Einstein, and a lot of things are, but I think he said the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result.
Yes.
If we know that extracting more fossil fuels is not profitable, you can't burn them, then why keep doing it?
Exactly right.
You know?
Exactly right. It says, and I resemble that remark at times, but it's really, let's take a look at this. And, you know, another thing that people can do, and it shocks me when I watch it, is shareholders meetings. Okay, I'm getting the signal. We have another break. Proof that time flies when you're having fun. When we come back, help share with us how you can know if your investments do contain fossil fuel companies and lots more. Stay here with us. We'll be right back with Timothy R. Yee.
Mrs. Green's World's mission is to preserve the planet by creating a global community of people who care about the health of the Earth. We educate, inform, and inspire. Mrs. Green's World is an independent, non-political, agenda-free voice. Your generous gift enables all of us to explore the issues facing the health of the planet in a comprehensive way. As a Mrs. Green's World sustainer, you can assist us in offering trusted information, providing listeners with the tools to make their own conclusions and choose their own steps to create a healthier planet. Visit MrsGreensWorld.com and click on Become a Member today.
Welcome back, everybody, and thanks for joining us. I hope you listen to that promo because we are working to really grow our impact and the results of the great content we have, the wonderful guests we have. So think about becoming a sustainer of Mrs. Green's World. It's right on my website. And thank you on behalf of the entire Mrs. Green team and movement. The name of our show today is Green Investment. What's your strategy? And hopefully after listening to the show, you will become much more mindful if you aren't already. I'm very pleased to have as our guest someone who is dedicated to fossil fuel-free and sustainable investing. He and his wife, Rose, were thought leaders on this. The success of their business is reflective of where the market is because people want to know about Timothy and Rose Yee and what they're doing. And I know this is another one of your titles, but you're the Chief Retirement Specialist. I know you're the president, but I love that. And co-founder of Green Retirement, Inc. Everybody, check out their website and learn all about them. His extensive experience in the financial services industry of more than 19 years includes being a vice president at the Bank of America. So this man has a lot of what I call street cred when it comes to the environment and really sustainable investment. And I do want to ask you this. I can't help it. I have to. One of the things that was on your website, and I love it when I do Google searches, are you still doing geocaching? It's one of my favorite things in the world to do. And I know that's not on the list, but please, is that one of your things that you still like to do?
To my fellow geocachers out there, 007 and the PI, I'm an addict.
You're the best.
Just this morning I took mother-in-law to have some blood drawn for her lab work, and while she was having her blood drawn, I couldn't help it. I got the phone out.
Are you kidding me?
I looked to see where the nearest cache is, and I was about to scoot out the door across the street when she came out and said, all done.
Oh, no.
So
oh, no.
I had to curtail myself.
My caching. Oh, my God. It's so much fun, and people really need to check it out if you don't do it. It's just so much fun. Do you leave something there? Do you have a little token that you leave?
I do, yeah. I will leave little marbles and things like that. And for the smaller ones, of course, we just sign our names, but it's... For me, it's, you know, it's just a healthy way to get out and enjoy the environment.
Fun.
Exactly.
It is. And we digress because you have lots more important things to talk about. And I don't want to go off on one of my famous tangents. So how can a person tell if our investments contain fossil fuel companies?
Fair point. There's a website that will help with that. But before I dive into the website, let me just touch quickly on the fact that, again, we're not asking companies to go out of business. We're asking them to change their way of doing business.
Yes.
There's a very famous energy company out there that since 2007 has spent, I think, around $2.5 billion on wind and solar. So the companies are waking up to this. They're seeing that they can be profitable in other areas.
Right.
Now, in terms of the website, for your listeners, if they go to fossilfreefunds.org, so www.fossilfreefunds.org. And try saying that a few times without coffee.
I will not.
Will be one. But the environmental nonprofit As You Sow created this website, and it's very easy. You enter the name of your investment, and it will tell you.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, for lack of a better word, it scrubs the data and says, hey, you own fossil fuels or you don't. And to your point, Gina, it's at that point we have a choice to make, just like the Quakers so many centuries ago. Now that you have the data, what does that mean to you and your values?
Right, right.
We're asking people to think. We're not telling them how to.
I know. I love that line. It's really the day that that was born at our team brainstorming session. Everybody got frustrated with me and said, well, what do you want? We have to come up with it. We're going live in 2 weeks. And I said, I don't want to tell people what to think. I just want them to think. And everybody said, done. Let's have some champagne. So it's like, that's how that happened over 8 years ago. So,
well, I tip my hat to As You Sow, because prior to this, it really was, again, to research people,
yes,
getting out various publications and having to manually look things up. And for many people, it was daunting. Again,
most people wouldn't do it. Let's be honest.
No,
most people wouldn't do
it. No, no more than I'll install the solar panel. Forget it.
That's right.
I'm not doing it.
Better chance of seeing Elvis on that one for me.
There you go. And so this website, fossilfreefunds.org, just type in the name of your investment, or if one of your listeners is more technical-minded, type in the ticker symbol, and it will tell you whether or not you own a fossil fuel.
This would be such a great blog topic, so I made myself a note so that I can get people on that track and thinking about it and reach other, you know, more people about it. So what if you do have a 401k? Do you have any control over fossil-free investing? Is it possible to do it within the confines of a 401k?
It is. And I've had employees say to me, well, I'm just an employee. I can't make a difference. I was at the Green Festival in San Francisco, and an employee for a major environmental nonprofit came up to our booth and started talking, and we explained what it is we do. And she said, that so resonates with me, and I know that our 401k is not fossil fuel free. We have fossil fuels in there, and we're an environmental nonprofit. And with each word, she was getting more and more worked up, and she said, by gum, I'm going to call my HR person. And I said, well, you do that, and here's my card, and if I can be of help. She did it, Gina. The next business day, she was at home. She called from her office, and she got the HR person on the phone. She said, now, listen, here's what I want you to do. I'm an employee. I have rights. And here's what you're going to do. The HR person called me out of the blue, surprised the heck out of me.
And that's taking action to bring about change. That simple step can be a domino.
Yeah, don't underestimate the power of one.
One, exactly.
Do not underestimate it. It's probably the only thing that has made change. One person saying, wait a minute. And it doesn't mean that the entire 401k will be fossil fuel free. That would be nice.
Right.
But
hopefully we'll get there, maybe even in our lifetime. I mean, it's accelerating.
It is. It is. I was just reading in the headlines that $3.2 trillion of active investments have committed to getting out of the fossil fuel industry.
That gets attention. Trillion.
There we go. Now we're starting to
That's pop the champagne cork, of course.
There you go.
Sustainable champagne that's from...
Well, Napa's not that far from here, Gina.
Exactly.
So yes.
I hope to join you there someday in the not-too-distant future.
There you go.
So you have power if your 401k doesn't offer it. Ask the question, go to your HR department, and start making some really appropriate noise. It's not just noise.
If there's questions about it, you can go to the divestinvest.org website as well. There's a plethora of resources. Because, again, I think sometimes people don't take action because they don't know what questions to ask or what to do. The divestinvest.org website has a plethora of resources that will tell an HR person or a CFO how to go about doing this.
And
if that's too complicated, just call me.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I was going to say. Like, if you're listening to this and you don't get an idea for who you can call to trust, I'll give you a clue. It's just really, and I say that sincerely. I mean, I really go to greenretirement.com and do your homework yourself. I would love it if you would explain briefly the whole divest in vest concept because it's not something that everybody is familiar with. And I was at, of course, SVN, where it's very big, and I was at Bioneers, two of my favorite things that I got to do in 2015, and they had lots of conversations about the divest, invest strategy. So can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, well, the idea of divestment, I think your listeners will resonate with. It is getting out of things that, well, don't resonate with their values. So divesting from companies that are in the fossil fuel industry certainly can make sense. I'm sure through the shows and with the interview with Sapor, you've put out enough evidence as to why we need to get out of fossil fuels for the sake of our race, our human race.
Right.
But, okay, now that I've divested and moved my money out, where do I move it into?
Right.
And that's where the divest, invest idea came about. It's one thing to say divest, but you need to give people the other half of the equation. Where do I invest? And the website presents just that.
And you're right. You can Google things. You can go onto Google. And Sapor and I and several of my guests recently have talked about where would we be without the internet? And we're old enough that I didn't always have it. And Sapor is way younger than I am, and she didn't either. So the tools and the resources that we have are just begging for us to utilize them in socially responsible ways. And, you know, when you look at someone as such a thought leader and one of the most impressive global philanthropists, Bill Gates, he and his wife, Melinda, their top priority right now is climate change and getting engaged in that conversation and putting their money in places where it's going to make a difference, because obviously they quickly figured out if we don't, nothing else really matters because we're not going to be here.
Exactly. Yeah. I would agree with you, Gina. I was listening to a radio show where they were talking about the feasibility of a trip to Mars, and some of your listeners will remember the film that came out in 2015 about Mars, and I remember one of my clients saying to me, well, that's really a great idea, but I don't want to be the first one. And yeah, if we're not living on the Earth, where are we living? We have an imperative to take care of Mother Earth, and we have a very clear way that we can do it. But it must be done now.
Yep, it does. I mean, it's urgent.
It is.
I just say there's clear and present danger. I love that. I stole it from a book, as you well know. It's like there's clear and present danger. So, and the other piece of it that I think we need to talk about before I start asking you all these questions about Burning Man. Just kidding. It's like, oh my gosh, Burning Man. So outside of the 401k, can someone or do you advise someone who is going and using some financial advisor that they trust, taking information to them and saying, this is where I want my money to go and how do I go about getting it?
I do encourage that. Do your research. Jot down the names of the investments that are considered fossil fuel free. That really is a mouthful. Let's just say fossil free. And go to your planner and say, this is what I want. And they should be able to construct a strategy around that. Now, they may not be familiar with some of these, but again, they have tools that will help them do their research. And don't take no for an answer. I was talking with a friend in Los Angeles, and she was very frustrated because her planner was refusing to help her. And I gave her several websites and said, you print these out, you take them in and say, this is what I want. It is what I am paying you for.
Exactly.
End of discussion.
Right. This is this is not a discussion. I'm the client. I'm yours.
Exactly.
I'm your customer. I'm right.
And it's, you know, to the point, if the planner can't, won't, whatever, last check I saw, there are 350,000 financial planners in the United States. It's, you know, it's the same in the 401k world, Gina. A 401k should be able to offer these choices.
Right, right.
If the 401k does not, if the backbone or platform, as we like to call it, if the platform doesn't offer those choices, perhaps the HR or CFO person needs to say, well, maybe we need to change our platform.
Right. And, you know, for the next, we have about 5 minutes left, I think. And what I'd like to talk about, if this is okay on your end, is I'd like to talk about your company, Green Retirement, and some of the services that you do offer, couching it in the vein of these are some of the things that people should be looking for when they're choosing a financial advisor and someone they trust? The kinds of services you do, and let's reference back to, you said you're on Skype for 5 hours because there are some people that you didn't get to see when you were back visiting the company that you have as a retirement client. What kinds of things do you do to touch people and to attribute to your success, especially given your basic tenets of socially responsible fossil-free investing? That's a thought leader. That's a cutting edge. That was out on the beginning of the, you know, you were out way before people are just starting to come to this rodeo, and you were putting the rodeo on. So talk a little bit about that, green retirement, and what you do.
Well, I think really the key to our success, we founded our practice in 06, and I was in corporate, as was Rose, and we both decided that the jobs we were in, and they were jobs, they were fulfilling, they were meeting our financial needs, but they were not resonating with our values.
Right, right.
And I remember being at a very extravagant gathering and just saying, this isn't right. So I leaned over to Rose and said, well, I think I'll set up my own financial practice. And she said, great, I'll quit my job too. We both jumped in the deep end of the pool.
I can so see you two doing that.
Yeah, so our timing wasn't the best. But what you look for in a financial planner certainly is someone who is credentialed and licensed. That's easily verified. To your point, Gina, you want someone who is knowledgeable. You want someone who will work with you, not against you.
Right.
I was so bothered by my Los Angeles friend and her planner's adamant refusal to help that I sent her an email and said, you know, you really should look at somebody else. If they're not working with you, if they're working against you, well, whose retirement is it?
Yes. Yes. It's your money.
Yeah, it's your money. It's your values. It's your choice. You need somebody who, in your heart of hearts, follow your gut, do your research, but this person is right. And it's not to say you'll always stay with the same person. I've had clients say, well, I've had the same planner for 30 years, but I think this person isn't working for me.
Right, right.
Very well. There's plenty of choice out there. But they really do need to understand where you're coming from and be an active supporter and leader in that, not somebody who's a roadblock. The same thing applies on the 401k side. If the platform or the parties involved are not able to deliver what the employees have a right to ask for, then the employees have the right to say, I think a change needs to be made and the company needs to listen to that.
And, you know, Tim, just to interject here, it's just Americans are so weird because we want to be and fashion ourselves as free and independent. And yet oftentimes when we go and seek the help of professionals, we just give up our power. And it's like, well, they know what they're doing. And what you're advocating for is know thy investor and bring your intelligence and your challenges and what you care about to the table in the conversation.
I would agree with you there. And in the couple of minutes we have left, I really want to hit as to why I'm doing this. And it's easy for me to whip out a prospectus or read a bunch of jargon, and your listeners will probably call you up and say, wow, that was boring. But I look back to the climate change talks. It was called Climate Change Number 18. And it was the lead negotiator from the Philippine delegation, and he had a prepared statement. Mr. Sano was his name, as I recall, and he gets about halfway through the statement, and then he just starts crying. He's at the United Nations crying, and he is not able to continue because he's thinking about the typhoons that are slamming region of the Philippines. And they're killing hundreds of people. They are making thousands homeless. And this is not a, oh, it's happening over there. Folks, remember Hurricane Sandy.
Yes.
Remember Hurricane Katrina. The U.S. is not impervious. This, we're talking about people's lives.
People's lives.
And that. That's what really matters.
And what a strong note on which to end. We have a 30-second wrap-up. Timothy R. Yee and Rose Yee, thanks for showing up in my life. Thanks for what you do for the planet. and all you do to make the world a better place for all of us. Our paths will cross. Everybody, look at our lineup for January. It'll knock your green socks off. Make it a great green day. And thank you, my friend, for taking the time to share your knowledge with us.